Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday.
Yes, I'm excited. It's the Advent season.
The first Sunday, yeah.
First Sunday of Advent, and I like Advent because there's lots of readings from my favorite major prophet, which is Isaiah. Or you might know him by his Hebrew name, Yeshayahu, but he has awesome Advent-type readings. And somebody once said that the book of Isaiah has everything in it, and you can actually call it the gospel according to Isaiah, because it has things about sin and punishment. It has all the messianic things, like how Messiah is going to be born and the circumstances, and then, of course, Isaiah 52 and 53 are how he's going to suffer. And then, you know, toward the end of the book, he talks a lot about Gentiles are going to be included in the kingdom. And so the book has kind of the whole scope of salvation history in it, which is really pretty cool. And a lot of it was written 700 years before Jesus was even born.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting to describe a crucifixion 700 years before it happens, and describe what we're going to talk about, of course, is the birth of Messiah, you know, roughly 700 years before that happens. And we're going to start with chapter 11. Do you have Isaiah chapter 11 there?
I do.
Let's read 1 through 10.
Sure. But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice and decide fairly for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall graze, together their young shall lie down. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the viper's den, and the child lay his head on the adder's lair. They shall not harm or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord, as water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the peoples, him the nations will seek out. His dwelling shall be glorious.
Woo. How cool is that? So the root of Jesse, we know Messiah is the son of David. Jesse, of course, is David's father. And I hope you all know that. But if you don't, you need to go back and review this. But anyway, so he's the root of Jesse. And it's interesting that from Jesse is going to come, David is going to come Messiah. And we know that Jesus actually is from the house of David. You can see the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke, and that Joseph and Mary were both descended from David. So he is, in fact, the son of David. And this is, of course, the royal family, the tribe of Judah. They were the scepter. Judah had the scepter. And if you read in Genesis 49, where old Jacob, old Israel, is about to die, and he blesses all the sons, when he gets to Judah, he says, you're going to have the scepter. You're going to be the governing tribe. And, of course, Yeshua, Jesus, is from the tribe of Judah. He's also the Lion of Judah. And so from Jesse as the root, Messiah is going to come. And it goes to, if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, which give you a lot of information about David, both before and after he's king, it's interesting in 2 Samuel that the prophet Nathan tells David that Messiah is going to come from him biologically. He says, from your loins is going to come the one who's going to rule in Israel, who's going to shepherd Israel. And this family connection is very, very important because in Jewish terms, you know, genealogy is very important. And it's so interesting that the royal family now, Joseph and Mary are both descended from the royal family, but now they're just kind of obscure and poor. And Messiah, the son of David, is going to be born into this humble, you know, poor circumstance. He's not going to be born in this beautiful house in Jerusalem and grow up in the temple in some beautiful place. He's going to be born in a poor place with animals, and he's going to grow up in a little town working in a wood shop and, you know, nobody around him being particularly educated or holy or prophetic. He's going to grow up in a totally different circumstances in a place that's called Nazareth. And this is very interesting, too, in the Hebrew, because when it talks about a shoot's going to come from Jesse, Isaiah's talking about a fragile little shoot that comes out of a plant, mm-hmm. you know, when it's still green.
Right.
And you can just take your hand and snap it if you want. That's the kind of delicate shoot he's talking about. And it's a weak little branch that can easily be overcome by the power of the world.
Yeah.
Could even be overcome by the power of one person.
Yeah.
But then that he's going to be Messiah. And the Hebrew word that's used there is the word Netzar, which then is also the root word for Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
So this branch that's going to be Jesus, the Messiah, is going to grow up in a town that's the root word of that town is the little branch. So how cool is that?
Yeah.
This is why I love Isaiah.
Hmm. You know, as you're saying all that, and you're talking about how that shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. If anybody's ever pruned a plant,
are we going to talk about pruning?
Did I say the wrong thing? I think I said the wrong thing. Let me rephrase that. No. You always get a bud that blossoms from that where you cut it at.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you might get a couple buds that blossom from that spot. And it is. It's very fragile. But if you think about life in general, I mean, how fragile life is when it begins. Whether you're a human being or you look at, you know, the ecosystem, plants, when a seed germinates in it and it buds forth, it's very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
It's not strong at all. It can be just overtaken or overwhelmed instantly,
mm-hmm.
and it's snuffed out. And, you know, as we enter the Advent season, our faith is the same way because it's very fragile at the very beginning. And if we don't cultivate it and help it to grow and take root, as Jesus says, you know, if our house is built on sand, well, when the storms come by and pass over us, then the sand's going to shift. Our faith is going to be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
We might lose our faith.
The house is going to fall down.
Yeah. So our faith is very fragile as well. And we have to guard that. Yeah. We have to allow it to grow and allow it to blossom and bud forth. You know, as you were saying, this time of Advent is a time to look forward or to remember the birth of Christ and prepare for his second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about preparing our hearts as one would prepare a home if a guest was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh, my house is a mess. I got to get it in order because, you know, I have some special people coming over. You know, I got to clean the room so they can stay there, have a nice place to stay. I got to clean, you know, my kitchen, my living room, and
All this junk under the couch.
Yeah, throw all this junk under the couch. I don't know what it's here for, but it's just here. And I just throw it in the other room. Nobody's going to look in there.
Yeah.
You don't want to do
that's
that.
That's what I do for home group.
But that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to throw all your other junk in another room in your heart, because you want to really get rid of it and clean it out.
Yes.
That's the idea. Not just to store clutter somewhere
else. Yeah.
But spiritually, that's one of the disciplines of this Advent season. And, you know, it's repetitive. It comes around every year, but it's really for us. Mm-hmm. It's not really for God.
Yeah.
It's for us, because as human beings, we need the cycle of this cycle of a yearly cycle of life that keeps us in a right relationship, or tries to keep us in a right relationship with God, so that we can bear that fruit and bear a harvest.
Yeah, and he set that up in the Old Testament when he gave the law.
Yeah.
He gave a rhythm of life to the people that's centered around the Sabbath and the feast days, because humans really need a cycle that they can understand, and it's a natural part of life, just like the seasons are a natural part of life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now it's winter and it's going to snow, and then in the summer it's going to be hot and the sun's going to be out. And you know that it's Advent, and then there's going to be rejoicing at the birth of Messiah. And then later on there's going to be Lent, and there's going to be the passion, death, and resurrection. And this is the ancient church has always had this as a cycle.
Yeah.
And this small little branch that we're talking about is also, you know, also mentioned later in Isaiah 52 and 53, in that, you know, there's nothing that makes you even look at this.
Right.
It's a little green branch. You don't, nothing that makes you look at him.
Yeah.
And Jesus is, in the case of what Isaiah is talking about there, is he looks just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't glow. He doesn't have a halo. He doesn't float 3 feet off the ground. He walks around like everybody else.
No twinkle lights?
No. Oh. And like when he walked into Denny's or Starbucks and people said, oh, good morning, he said, hey, how you doing? Good. You know, ordered what he wanted to eat and sat down, just like everybody else does.
Yeah.
And there was nothing that made you look at him. And the difference here, though, of course, is he's the everlasting God. But as it points out in that reading, the Spirit's going to rest on him. And because the fullness of the Godhead is in Jesus. Paul says that in chapter 1 of Colossians. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him.
Yeah.
So as the Spirit falls on him, and we see this, of course, early in his ministry at the baptism, and, you know, when he talks at the synagogue of Nazareth, he quotes from Isaiah talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
And today this is fulfilled in your hearing.
Yeah.
And so he has all of that wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and, his mission is clear cut. And we believe, of course, in a Trinitarian God. Within the Godhead, there's three persons. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in three persons. And this is, of course, incomprehensible. But God does everything in Trinity, including salvation, of course. And so when Messiah condescends to take human form, it's a weak human form. Now, he was stronger than we are because they were physically, they did a lot of physical work and they did a lot of walking. He had a frail human body just like everybody else has. He condescended to take on flesh like that. And by the power of the Godhead, he's able to, because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, he's able to do these things that are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just, despite what a lot of religious leaders are now saying, he's not just an extraordinarily good man.
Yeah.
He's not just a real model for us.
Mm-hmm.
He is a model for us because we're constantly trying to live like he did.
Right.
The Father is trying to form us into his image, but we can't do that on our own. And he's not just a really good teacher, really good philosopher, an extraordinarily moral person At least, you know, we don't know anything bad that he did. So he seems to be an extremely moral person. I mean, this is how people think now.
Yeah. As you're saying that, it is how society has come to think about spiritual things and the truth that God has established and revealed through the scriptures throughout the ages. As you were saying about Jesus, you know, the fullness of the Godhead resides in him. You know, when you pray the creed, we pray that I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. So God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, mm-hmm. consubstantial with the Father. So he's always been.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's not like, a byproduct of,
mm-hmm.
but he's one in being with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Jesus would even say, you know, if you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I have one. Mm-hmm. You know, how long have I been with you? Do you not know this? And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
How do we know the way?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it took him a while to get.
You've been with me. You know, you've been with me for 3 years and you don't understand this yet. So, but as you said, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, shall rest upon him. And the Spirit comes to rest upon Jesus in the Jordan
mm-hmm.
after when John baptizes him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit instructed John that the one who he would baptize in the Spirit remains, that's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Christ. Because Christ in Greek, Christos, the Anointed One.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that I knew some Greek, did you? But anyway. but one very important thing as you were reading this, which is really timely in our culture right now, not by appearance shall he judge, yes. not by hearsay mm-hmm. shall he decide.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, God speaks truth and Jesus sees the heart.
Yes.
God sees the heart.
Yes.
So for anybody that thinks, well, you know, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. Well, we're not going to judge you, but God judges
mm-hmm.
and he sees your heart.
Yeah.
And he knows the intentions and the motivations of your heart probably even better than you do.
Yes.
Probably even better than I do.
Yes, certainly.
And that's what we will give an account for.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he has, I like that passage, but that you just allude to is he has all wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
Yeah.
He's not influenced by what people are going to say, not
right.
influenced by public opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I always like the example of, you know, we always say it's a kingdom of God. It's not a democracy. It's not a republic.
Yeah.
It's a kingdom.
Right.
And when Moses is on the mountain, God doesn't say, well, Moses, you know, I got some laws I'm going to give you, but I want to run a couple of these by you because I'm like, what do you think? Do you think people are going to go for this? I mean, do you think, I don't know. Do you want to go down and take a poll and then come back up? I don't know.
Moses said, well, let me go take a snap poll. Let's see what's going on. Let's take the pulse of the people.
No, what he does is he says, here's the law.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be influenced by people's opinions. See, we think we can influence God today in our time because we've changed. So we have a different opinion now about this than we did 100 years ago.
We've evolved into this.
Yeah, so therefore, I'm sure that he's coming along with that because, after all, he's got to get with it because now we've gotten with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think like we did 100 years ago. And Jesus always knows what his mission is. And it's not sidetracked when Peter says, oh, wait a minute, you can't. What are you talking about? You can't go there and die. That's like, come on, man. What are you talking about? He says, no, I don't want to be distracted by that. You know, he says, get behind me, Satan, and he's talking to Satan, and he's talking to Peter.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not going to be diverted from his mission.
Yeah.
Because he knows what his mission is.
Yeah. And in our culture today, if you talk to enough people, you will find that if you're steadfast in your purpose and mission, in a leadership position, many people will try and get you to do what they want.
Of course.
All the time.
Yes.
And if you stay steadfast and you do not give them what they want, you will find out very quickly, you know, how many people actually like what you're doing or are buying into what you're doing and who are going to follow you, regardless of if you say, okay, I'll use your ideas. Some people won't. I mean, they'll just totally create a lot of problems for you.
Yeah.
And that's, it's, you know, and that's in a secular manner.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to do the same thing in a spiritual manner too, because that's how they're trained to think.
Yeah.
And spiritually, you know, people want God to be a democracy. There's even people that are confused as to what the United States of America is.
Yeah.
We're a republic, not a democracy.
Yeah.
And we're not a monarchy. But the kingdom of heaven is God's. He's the king.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the righteous one. And, you know, you can have that debate all you want about, well, I think it should be this. I think it should be that. You don't get a say in it.
Mm-hmm.
What you get a say in is, are you going to accept the salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ to spend the rest of eternity with God? That's what you get a say in.
Yes, good point.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do that,
like
then
that.
You're going to go to the, you know, you're going to spend a long time in another place.
That's right. If you don't want to be with him, he's not going to drag you kicking and screaming
right
into heaven.
He's not going to, wow, you know, gosh, I just can't exist without, for all of eternity without you. I got to have you here.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He wants you to be there with him.
Of course.
That, or else he wouldn't have sent his son to die for you.
Yes, exactly.
But that's the choice you have.
Exactly. The good point. And, you know, when he talks about, Isaiah talks about how he's going to stand as a banner to the people. Or your translation said a signal. Most translations say a banner to the people. And the nations are going to seek him. And, you know, when the Bible talks about nations, it's talking about Gentiles. So Gentiles are going to seek him.
Mm-hmm.
The Goyim are going to seek him. So this is radical. This is written 700 years before Jesus is born. And Isaiah is saying Gentiles are going to seek him.
Yeah.
So here we are in northern Ohio, you know, 2019 years later, more or less. And we're all a bunch of Gentiles. And we're seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeking the Jewish Messiah, even though we're all a bunch of Gentiles.
Yeah.
And Isaiah prophesied this. And he said he's going to be a banner. And we know that each of the tribes of Israel had a banner.
Mm-hmm.
And when they set up their camp, they had the banners flying.
So you knew who's...
So you knew where you belonged.
Yeah.
So if you left the camp to go to Arby's or go to Walmart to get something or whatever...
They had Arby's back
when you, yeah. So when you came back and you were in the tribe of Benjamin, you looked around and you saw where Benjamin's banners were. So
mm-hmm.
you said, oh, yeah, it's over there.
Yeah.
So we as Gentiles who come to Jesus as the Messiah, he's the banner over us that we gather under.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's one banner, whether you're from the tribe of Issachar or whether you're from Bolivia or whether you're Australian or
yeah,
whether you're from New Guinea, there's one banner that you gather under.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Isaiah says, this banner is going to be set up and even Gentiles are going to seek it.
Yeah.
So people from the corners of the earth are going to seek that banner. They're not going to go under, oh, the U.S. flag's over here, the, you know, British flag is over here, and the Bolivian flag is over here. You're going to go under his banner.
Yeah.
Which is the cross.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, that's the good news of the gospel, because
amen,
we're not separated anymore, because the love of Christ dispels and disperses all those
yes
divisions. He conquers all those divisions through the blood of Christ and through his love. And he brings us unto himself under the one banner of love.
Mm.
You know, the love that he poured out on the cross.
Yes.
Not a false love. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But true love.
His banner over us is love, as it says
yeah
in the Song of Songs. And that's this is the ultimate banner.
Mm-hmm.
And like you put it perfectly, this is the good news of salvation.
Yeah.
Because if that banner wasn't there, you'd have to earn your way in.
Yeah.
That
and we,
be
we'd
tough
be wandering around in the desert looking for a banner.
The music's on, right?
It is.
Whew. I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as we continue through the season of Advent, that you would prepare your heart and your home really your heart, for a place for the Lord to dwell, and that he may come and abide with you all the days of your life. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.